Well, hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us here today. And I hope that these times together are a blessing to you, and I hope that they will continue to be a blessing and an encouragement for you in your life, in your walk, in your relationship with the Lord. And the best part about these times is not just that we get the chance to share together, but God is in fact with us. He desires to speak to us. He's here with me as I do this. He's with you as you watch it and as you listen to it. The fact that God is with us and He desires to speak to us. He wants us to know Him. And so let's take a moment and go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You so much for this day. And Lord God, for this opportunity that You've given to us to be here together before You. And Lord God, as we're here, we ask that You reveal Yourself to us. Lord, that You speak to us. Lord, that You'll help us to grow in our relationship with You, know You better, be able to trust You better. Lord, to love You more. Father, be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we look at our world, as we look at our nation, there is so much that burdens us, worries us, concerns us, frankly overwhelms us. And with all that going on in our minds and our hearts, as we look around, as we keep up with the news, frankly, it makes it very difficult for us to initially get into the 33rd Psalm, Psalm 33. Well, Psalm 33 is a wonderful psalm of praise. And yet, when we think about praising the Lord and we look at all that we see taking place around us, quite frankly, many times it's difficult to do that because we are burdened and worried and concerned. And yet, as we look at this psalm, we find out not only the reasons, if you will, why we should praise the Lord even in times like these, but we find out that by so doing, we actually find the basis of why we can trust Him in times like these. Why we, in fact, can face these times with confidence and certainty as we lean upon our Lord. And so look with me as we look at this 33rd Psalm, and we're going to work our way through it. I want us to, first of all, look at the call to praise. It actually, the psalm does begin with a call to praise. Look at verses 1 through 3. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Give thanks to the Lord of the lyre. Sing praises to Him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new psalm. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. We read that and we think, well, I know I should. I know certainly the Lord is worthy of our praise and our thanksgiving, but I'm really struggling with that today. When I see all the things that I see taking place, I'm concerned about our nation, where it is now, where it is headed, concerned about the world that our children, our grandchildren are going to inherit. When I see the conditions, the circumstances around me, frankly, I struggle to praise. Most of us would probably think that way. And yet the psalmist, as we look at this, doesn't just stop there with that call to praise. And if he did, that would be enough for us because God is worthy of our praise. But He actually gives us, number two, the cause to praise. That is the solid reasons that we have to praise the Lord. And as we look at these, what we will see when we come to the conclusion of this psalm is that these actually serve as a foundation as to why we can praise the Lord and trust Him going forward. We often think of praise merely being looking back at what God has done, but praise actually becomes the foundation for trusting God as we move ahead. And so look with me at the calls to praise, and we see several of these. We see, A, God's perfection. And I'm using that kind of a catch-all phrase. Look at verses 4 and 5. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all of His work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. You know, when we read these, many times we have, because of our limited human understanding, we have this idea that, you know, on one end of the spectrum, you have God's loving kindness, His goodness, His mercy, His grace. And on the other end of the spectrum, you have God's righteousness, God's holiness, God's justice. And while certainly, you know, because of our humanness, we have to look at those things individually, but we need to always remember God's not divided in His person. He is all of those in perfect measure and in perfect combination at all times. God does not suffer from some type of an internal personality conflict. He is perfect in each of his attributes. He's perfect in his being. We're before the God who's perfect. And you think about what that means and the implications of that. Because he is perfect, whatever he chooses to do will be perfect. And how he brings it about will be perfect. And the timing in which he does it will be perfect. And so the reason that we can praise the Lord, even in times such as we're living in, or maybe circumstances that you're facing in your own private personal life, is because of the perfection of God. Whatever he chooses to do in your life in that situation, or in our nation, or in our world, will be determined, planned, orchestrated, carried out, fulfilled, based on his perfection. Whatever he does, however he brings it about, whenever he does it, and the means he uses to bring it about will all be perfect. The cause to praise God begins with his perfection, but also carries on to God's power. And we see his power, first of all, demonstrated. Look at verses 6 through 9. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. You look at this beautiful creation. It's a beautiful spring day today. We have moved from filming on the front porch to the back porch. It's pleasant. The trees are budding, putting out the pollen. Had to sweep off the rocker because it was my black rocker was actually green when I stepped out here. You see this beautiful creation at work. And you think of the God who spoke all of this into existence. There is nothing he cannot do. There's nothing he cannot handle. This world's problems, seemingly unsolvable in our eyes, they're nothing to God. That problem or burden that you're facing today, and I'm not trying to diminish it in any way or belittle it, and for you and I, it might seem like it's absolutely impossible. Yet with God, it's well within his power range because his power range is unlimited. God's awesome power demonstrated. We're blessed to live in an area where we can see God's creation at work. And all we have to do in any given day is look around us and we see the awesome power of God. Not only demonstrated, but also notice directed. Look at verses 10 through 12. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart from generation to generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. God uses that awesome, unlimited power that he possesses in human affairs and events. And what is amazing is no matter what they, whoever they may be, have planned, it's God who determines what happens. I think about Haman in the book of Esther, you recall, who had that plot to destroy all the Jews, and Haman in particular, or rather Mordecai in particular, and how he wanted to kill all the Jews, and God turned that plan upside down, wanted to hang Mordecai, and yet Haman wound up being on the gallows that he himself had built. God's awesome power directed. God himself will intervene in his righteous perfect judgment and work. Why can we praise God? Because our God is perfect in all he does, and that power is demonstrated and it's also directed. But not only do we see his awesome power, but we also see God's position. Look at verses 13 through 17. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From his dwelling place he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all, he who understands all their works. The king is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone by its great strength. Did you see it? God is sovereign. God is, in fact, over all. God understands because he's both within and without the situation. He determines what happens. Yes, all of us more than ever realize just how much our world is filled with wicked, evil people who have tremendous resources, who wield an incredible amount of power. And we often look and we think, well, can anyone stop them? Can anyone hold them in check? Yes, God can and God will. Because of his position, God is in fact the sovereign God. That God who has all that incredible power that we just spoke about is in fact sovereign, and he rules over all. But not only is God sovereign, that is, he's over all, but notice as well, we see lastly, D, God's presence. Not only does he rule and reign from over on high, over everything, but my friend, in every situation, God is. Look at verses 18 and 19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. God is personally involved. He's not just up there. Certainly he's on his throne, ruling and reigning over all. God is not merely, you know, God is not peering over the edge of a cloud, chewing his fingernails, saying, gee, I hope that, you know, my people make it through all that. Or as he looks at you, he's not peeking over the cloud, chewing his fingernails, wondering, boy, I sure hope he or she makes it through that. No, God is personally involved. Do you remember the disciples when they were frightened in the storm? They needn't be, because God was with them. Our Lord is with them. He is with us. What an incredible difference it makes when we realize this perfect God who possesses and demonstrates and uses all power, sovereign over all, and yet is also in the boat with us. What a reason to praise him. But then look what comes out of that. We see the confidence from praise. Certainly God is worthy of our praise for everything he's done up to this moment, which is normally what we think about praise. But notice again that actually becomes the foundation to being able to trust him as we move ahead. Look with me at verses 20 through 22. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us according as we have hoped in you. You know, when we focus on our Lord, we not only see the reasons to praise him looking back, but we're reminded of all the reasons to trust him going forward, even in days like these. This wonderful God who was perfect in the ages past is perfect in ages to come. This God whose power is displayed, this God whose power has been directed through the ages, that power is still directed. This God, who is perfect in all that he does, still is. And this God, who was with his people in the past, is with us now. And will be with us later on today, will be with us tomorrow, next week, next month, however long until he calls us to be with him. What a reason to praise him. We look at these times and we're overwhelmed. We think, I'm having a hard time praising God. It's times like these that we need to praise him more. Because not only is he worthy of that praise, but that praise actually gives us the ability and the confidence to trust him going forward. As we face these times, we need to take time to look at our Lord. You know, what's the old hymn? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's exactly what we need to do. He's worthy of our praise, and in that praise, we'll see that he's worthy of our trust. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, again, thank you so much for the day that you've given to us. And, oh Lord God, we do praise you for your perfection, your power, your awesome position as the sovereign God, and, oh Lord, your wonderful presence in every moment. Lord, you're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our trust. Be with us, O Lord, as we face what's taking place in our world, in our nation. O God, even in our lives. May we cling to you and trust you, for you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope as you go through today, that God's presence will be an experienced reality for your life. And I hope that you do have a great day in Him.